DW.
Why did you decide to cycle?
Just a different way of getting to work, and the tube is very crowded.
Fiona Vasilova has lived in East London for the past 2 years. Originally from Australia, she's just joined the brigade of tens of thousands of Londoners who now commute by bike.
Well, it feels much more polluted. Just riding along, you are breathing in fumes, and it feels much more polluted than Melbourne, but Melbourne is not particularly polluted, so I'm not sure it's the best comparison.
She decided to cycle the 30-minute journey to work each day after tiring of the city's overcrowded public transport network. But she's not yet joined some of London's more experienced riders who wear anti-pollution face masks.
I haven't really thought about it, but I guess it's a good idea. Literally, this is the first week I've started riding, so we'll see what the impact is.
Like most city dwellers, she accepts that high air pollution is something you have to put up with when living in London.
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I haven't really thought about it. There's not that much publicity about how bad it is, and everyone kind of just accepts it for what it is.
London already has a low emission zone, which restricts certain vehicles in order to reduce exhaust discharge from diesel-powered trucks and buses. Nonetheless, a debate is raging about whether Britain is doing enough to tackle the huge increase in the number of diesel vehicles on the roads. Government officials point to data that shows that diesel cars emit much lower levels of carbon dioxide than petrol vehicles. But in April last year, the UK Supreme Court ordered the government to produce a new air quality plan, calling for immediate action to cut nitrogen dioxide pollution from diesel cars, which can worsen heart disease and respiratory illnesses. And 18 months on, Andrea Lee, clean air campaigner for the legal charity Client Earth, told me why they've headed back to the courtroom.
10, 15 years ago, the UK government started, as many other governments across the EU, to promote the use of diesel as a way to meet climate change targets, because diesel engines used to be more efficient than petrol. But what they ignored, even though they were aware of the problem, is that diesel engines produce a lot more particulate matter and also nitrogen dioxide emissions, which harms people's health. So as a sort of a shortcut to trying to meet climate change targets, they basically promoted the growth of diesel vehicles.
Client Earth says the Dieselgate scandal surrounding Germany's Volkswagen revealed just how much is at stake for the big auto manufacturers who have invested billions of euros into factories that can produce more and more diesel-powered vehicles. In the UK alone, diesel engines made up 50% of all new cars sold in 2010, and that figure has continued to climb. But while diesel can be up to 20% more fuel efficient than petrol engines, these days their CO2 emissions are more or less the same, according to the European Environment Agency. Lee says British consumers, hoping to reduce their carbon footprint, have been given the wrong advice.
We're seeing a rapid dieselisation of the vehicle fleet, specifically with passenger cars as well, because diesel vehicles were usually more popular for larger vehicles. But a lot of members of the public were basically told that diesel vehicles were more environmentally friendly. And you have many people who have been misled into buying what they thought were vehicles that had a lower environmental impact, and they weren't told about the way that they can actually be harming people's health.
Client Earth thinks the government's plans for clean air zones are woefully inadequate, and its legal action in Britain is one of many cases across Europe, including Germany and Brussels, under the EU's Ambient Air Quality Directive.
But I think in the last 5 years, we've both really felt the impact of air pollution. And I'm not sure if that...
24-year-old Vasilisa Forbes and her two friends have set up the Clean Air Now movement against an issue they say goes unnoticed by many Londoners. Through online and street advertising, they're trying to mobilise young people to push the British government to tackle the city's pollution problem.
We were given a bunch of free billboards and we decided to use them specifically for the purpose of the air pollution campaign. We basically invited the volunteers to be in the photo shoot so they could be on the billboards themselves. Some of the images featured a strong group of young people, all from diverse backgrounds, all wearing pollution masks. It sort of showed that there was a movement going on and that was sort of empowering to people that cared about the issue and didn't want to see it as something that that overpowered them, but something that they could perhaps fight back against.
The edgy billboard campaign attracted attention in many London boroughs, including Tower Hamlets, which, as well as containing landmarks like Tower Bridge and the Tower of London, also stretches out to some of the poorest neighbourhoods of the capital. Campaigners say areas like Tower Hamlets are also the most polluted due to several major highways that bring large amounts of traffic in from the east.
The big problem in London is the element of the through road, and that causes most of the pollution. It isn't the people who live in the city using polluted vehicles. It's a lot of this through traffic that's either bringing in trade or is people passing through to get to other places. A lot of people in Tower Hamlets don't own a car, for example. It's probably the area with the sort of lowest level of car ownership. So that is a bit of a sad statistic, considering it's one of the most polluted as well.
In starting her campaign, Forbes discovered that many young people believe that environment issues don't really affect them. She said most current green messages are aimed at the white middle class, who are often seen by the public as the biggest proponents of change.
We saw charities like Greenpeace starting to talk about air pollution and doing guerrilla movements and campaigns to encourage interest from members of the public. But we didn't see anything geared towards the teenage age group. We thought the most important point was to convince people that actually this is a problem, and they wouldn't be able to be convinced if they sort of couldn't find it out for themselves. Particularly the teenage age group, that's when you're really starting to think about what you're going to do as an adult, sort of what kind of job you're going to get, are you going to get some sort of method of transport like a motorbike or a car. So for us, that was the pivotal sort of age group that would be influencing the future.
For its part, London is offering incentives for electric and LPG-powered cars who can avoid the daily £11.50 congestion charge for driving into the centre of the UK capital. London's new mayor, Sadiq Khan, plans to introduce a new surcharge for older polluting vehicles by 2017, but campaigners insist this isn't enough. And while Client Earth seeks to hold the UK and other governments to account through the courts, the Clean Air Now campaign plans an online drive to encourage young people to lobby their local MPs to support faster action on pollution. Nick Martin, DW, London.
This report was brought to you by DW.